Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin here with you. So glad you could join us, and thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. We have got three great local experts here to talk about the biggest stories in hockey. First, we'll be joined by John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers to talk about the first place New York Rangers in the Metropolitan Division. Then Tony Cordasco of Locked On Vegas Golden Knights stops by. Vegas in the thick of the playoff hunt in their division with some inconsistent play as of late, and Tony has you covered on all things Golden Knights. And then Mike DiStefano joins us from Locked On Leafs to talk about the Maple Leafs, what they may be looking for at the trade deadline, and how they are faring as they head into the All-Star break. The New York Rangers in first place in the Metropolitan Division after missing the playoffs a year ago. And with us is John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers to talk all things Broadway Blue Shirts. John, let's start with Chris Kreider. Hat trick last night, 29 goals, which I believe ties him for the league lead. What has been different about Chris Kreider this year? In the past, he's been very inconsistent. This year, he seems to be on top of his game day in and day out.
Yeah, he really has been, Gil. And, you know, it's funny because as a Ranger fan, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, I'm sure there are other Ranger fans who feel this way as well. But, you know, they re-signed Kreider a couple of years ago, and I was happy with that move. But I also, at the time, was thinking like, okay, well, we're just going to have to live with the fact that this guy is an extraordinarily streaky player. He's going to be hot and he's going to be cold. You hope that he's hot at the right times, namely the playoffs. But also, you know, maybe if a couple other players in the Rangers are going through a little bit of a dry spell, you know, he can pick up the team from an offensive perspective. But this season, to your point, he's been absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is he has just become, I mean, he's always had this to his game a little bit, but he has become such a strong net front presence. I mean, he is so good at redirecting shots into the net, or, you know, he'll clean up some garbage there in the crease. If the initial shot is saved, he'll stuff in the rebound. He's very big, very strong, very difficult to move out of the crease. And, you know, he can shoot it too. A lot of his goals have been of the tip-in variety or, like I said, you know, kind of cleaning up the garbage in the crease. But, I mean, he's got a nasty shot as well. And, you know, something that doesn't necessarily show up in the score sheet is the very simple fact he's not just helping offensively. He has become a phenomenal penalty killer. And maybe he always has been because the Rangers in the past haven't really used him on the kill all that often. But the Rangers' penalty kill is, I think, like third in the league right now. It's really been a strength of the team, and he does a phenomenal job there as well. So I cannot say enough about the job that he's done so far this season. And it's crazy because, you know, early in the season, he gets off to this hot start, and I'm saying like, man, you know, Kreider, he's playing like an elite player in this league, a big-time player. And now it's like, no, he's not just playing like he is an elite player. We're halfway through the season here, and he leads the league in goals. I mean, if that doesn't make you elite, I don't know what does. So it's hard to put your finger on exactly why it's taken this long for him to get to this kind of a level, but we will definitely take it over here in Rangerland.
You talk about elite players, got to mention Adam Fox leading the team right now with 38 assists and 45 points. What is it about Adam Fox that makes him an elite player?
He's just the total package. And, you know, a lot of times I think when you've got a defenseman that puts up, you know, the kind of gaudy, explosive offensive numbers, they tend to get, you know, a lot of attention, and rightfully so. And that's obviously a huge part of Adam Fox's game. But he, as much fireworks as he produces offensively, I'm not sure that he's not even better defensively. You know, he's not somebody that necessarily is going to take your head off with a bone jarring hit. That's not really his game. You know, he'll hit a little bit for sure. But with him, he's just that defenseman that's never caught out of position, never panics, always makes smart decisions with the puck. And something that he does extraordinarily well, and I've talked about this on my podcast and in the past, Gil, if he's the lone defenseman back for a two-on-one break for the opposition, he defends it, I got to believe, as well or better than any defenseman in hockey. Obviously, you're a defenseman back in that situation. The biggest thing in most cases that you want to do is try to take away the pass and at least leave the guy with the puck one-on-one with the goalie. I can't even tell you how many times that the opposition on a two-on-one rush does not even get a shot away. He'll just straight up steal the puck away from the guy that has the puck and just skate away with it. It's unbelievable. I can't believe there are many defensemen in the league who do it better than Adam Fox does. And I know there's a lot of tremendously skilled defensemen in this league. A lot of them are really young. And with all respect to the Cale Makars and the Victor Hedmans of the world and guys like that, I got to believe, like, if I'm an NHL GM and I can just, like, push a button and, okay, this defenseman is on my team, I'm going with Adam Fox, especially when you consider his youth. And again, obviously, I'm a little bit biased. I am a Ranger fan, but Adam Fox is my guy, and I'm sticking to it.
I don't think you're alone with that choice. I think a lot of GMs and hockey people would love to have Adam Fox on their team. You can't talk about the success of the Rangers this year without mentioning Igor Shesterkin. 19-4-2 on the year, a 2.07 goals against average, and a gaudy 936 save percentage. Did you expect him to be this good this soon? And what is it about Shesterkin's game that has gone to another level this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very, very bullish on Igor Shesterkin and his career prospects. I don't know that I necessarily expected his numbers to be just as ridiculous as they are so far. But I can remember, the Rangers for a while there, before he ever made his NHL debut, you are hearing a lot about this goalie that they have, Igor Shesterkin. And if you look at the numbers that he's put up really everywhere he's ever played hockey, even before getting to the NHL, the numbers are just video game-like, or not even, because he can't even do this in a video game, I don't think. But, you look at what he's done, in the KHL and the AHL. I mean, his goals against average is always in the ones. And in the KHL, I mean, he had a couple seasons where it was, like, in the low ones, like the low to mid ones. And I realize the KHL is not the NHL, and you're not going to be able to replicate that in the NHL, the best league in the world. But, man, I don't care what level of hockey it is. It can be peewee hockey, high school hockey, NHL, whatever. If you've got a goals against average in the low to mid ones, you're obviously doing something right. And given the fact that he had dominated every league he had ever played in, is he going to dominate the NHL to that degree? Probably not, but he's going to be darn good. And we're seeing that right now. And, there's been a lot of talk about him maybe being in the Vezina race, and he definitely is. But what about the Hart? There's even a little bit of buzz building for the Hart Trophy for Igor. And when you look at how he was stealing games left and right for this team early in the season, when everybody else was still kind of finding their game a little bit, maybe some consideration. I'm not going to sit here and say he has to win this award, but I could see him maybe getting a couple of votes. I think the writers rank like the top 10 or whatever. So he could end up getting a couple points there at least.
Very, very possible. Big event coming up this week for the Rangers. Friday, they will be retiring Henrik Lundqvist's number, a well-deserved honor. Talk to me about what you expect Friday and what the King meant to the Rangers organization.
It's tough to even know where to start there, man. I mean, I can remember, I was back in college when Igor Shesterkin was, when Henrik Lundqvist, I was making his debut. And, he was just absolutely fantastic. There were some Ranger teams that really were really not that good, but they would always squeak into the playoffs as like a 6 seed, a 7 seed, an 8 seed. And you would look at the roster and you would be like, how is this team even in the playoffs? But then you would look and it's like, oh man, we got Henrik Lundqvist in net. That's why we're in the playoffs. And he was great, stole a lot of games early in his career with them. And then later in his career, they actually put a good team around him. And you saw him, getting to the Stanley Cup Finals and leading the Rangers on some deep runs. The game that I always talk about on my podcast, and I think it's still the best performance that he's ever had in his career. 2014, obviously, that was the year that the Rangers made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But they're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, they're down 3-1. And they don't come back in that series and win that series without Henrik Lundqvist. And that's especially true in Game 7 of that series. I mean, he absolutely stood on his head. And if you're just a general hockey fan listening to this and you want to see just an unreal goalie performance, go on YouTube, find that game, and just enjoy it. It's just a treat to watch. I might even have to do that when we hang up here, Gil, because it's Sunday and I got some time, and I want to kind of bask in Henrik Lundqvist's greatest moments before we have the ceremony on Friday.
Should be a good one. The Rangers always do a good job with the retirement ceremony, so looking forward to that. John, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they could find your podcast and where they could find you on social media?
The podcast, you can find that anywhere you get your podcasts, probably wherever you're listening to this. You can find Locked On Rangers as well. As far as finding me on social media, at jchick17. And as far as the podcast on social media, this is on Twitter, at @LO_NY_Rangers. So definitely give us a follow and go Rangers.
All right, John Chick, always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, always a pleasure talking some hockey, Gil. We'll do this again soon.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. And Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but pack 17 grams of protein. Now compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of net sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And there's so many great flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, my personal favorite, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many, many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited-time flavors, so check out Built.com often to see what's new. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, always glad to be with you here on the Monday edition, and thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in the host of Locked On Golden Knights, Tony Tradasco. Tony, great to have you back on the show.
Great to see you, Gil. Looking forward to our discussion, as always.
Likewise, and look, the Golden Knights still in first place, but it's been a little bit of a struggle lately. A nice overtime win over the Canadiens the other night. But what has been the issue for this team? I mean, COVID's been affecting the whole league, but why have the Golden Knights been inconsistent as of late?
Well, they had an 8-game homestand. They went 3-3-2 on the homestand. And this has been a place, the fortress here, T-Mobile Arena, it's been a home where they're not accustomed to losing games. And so a lot of tension, I think, has built up with both Pete DeBoer and with the team. And I think, you know, one of the areas of inconsistency is defensively, you know, because this team is scoring more than 3 goals per game, but they're also giving up 3 or more. And thus it's making the bettors happy because they're taking the overs on each game. You know, they're betting the totals. But to me, it's been a team that hasn't had great goaltending, I believe, you know, with Robin Lehner. And I don't think that, again, with all the line changes, sooner or later, they were bound to hit the wall. And that's, I think, exactly what happened. They just reached a point where they couldn't play any better than they were with all of these lineup changes each and every night. And so those inconsistencies, I think, have hurt the team. Not knowing who's going to be on your line in a particular game, that's definitely something that I think the Golden Knights have found that it's hurt their chemistry. And in turn, I think it's hurt their game.
Team now heading on a 4-game road trip to the Southeast, Washington, Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay. Some pretty challenging teams. In fact, 4 challenging teams. Is the road trip possibly something that might benefit this team at this point with them struggling at home?
Yeah, that's a great question. The last time they were on the road was December the 28th, and they just went down the street to play the LA Kings. And so for the Golden Knights now, it's been about a month since they've been home. And I just look at Alex Pietrangelo. He's got like 5 kids running around his house every day. And, you know, they're all playing Mr. Dad and husband and boyfriend. And, you know, it's just about time to get out on the road. And for the Golden Knights, this team bonding will also include Jack Eichel is on the road trip, even though he won't be playing for a month or two. But Pete DeBoer wanted to bring him out on the road. Alec Martinez, hopefully he'll be back this week. And then you've got Max Pacioretty, who is also joining the team on this road swing. And so it's a team bonding trip too, but those are 4 difficult games. If they could come out of this with 2 points, I think they should be happy.
Going to be a challenge, no question about that. You know, the Golden Knights are still in first place, and in spite of the inconsistency, who are some of the players who have really been the cause of their success this year?
Number one by far, and he definitely should have been an all-star. I get animated and fired up. Chandler Stephenson. I mean, a guy that started on the 4th line in Washington, look at where he is now. And he's played about 15 games without Stone and Pacioretty the two bookends next to him. And this is incredible. He's got 38 points. He has 12 goals and 26 assists. And to me, Chandler Stephenson is the player that just shows up every night, scores goals. Mark Stone, yes, he's got the captain. He's got the C on his sweater. But I got to tell you, man, Chandler Stephenson deserved a chance to be an all-star. And I just feel bad for him because he's just done everything that's been asked of him and much, much more. And I don't think they expected that kind of scoring output out of Chandler Stephenson, the center on the top line.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for them throughout the year, probably their most consistent player as well. We're approaching the halfway mark, or we're right about at the halfway mark. What grade would you give this team for the first half of the season?
Well, I would give Pete DeBoer an A, an absolute A, for the way that he has kept his team together. As far as the team, again, with all the inconsistencies, they're in the B to C range, I think, because they haven't reached their potential yet. I really want to see this team playing at full strength, and I can't wait for Jack Eichel to join the lineup. And now, as you get a different piece back every day, I think we're going to start to see this team start to gel. They also need to play better defensively, and I think Alec Martinez will definitely help them out. And then they could get their defensive pairings down. And also, as you bring back Max Pacioretty and you get back some other pieces, then for the Golden Knights, they could continue to roll four lines. And the third and fourth line, the bottom six, we thought that that would be an issue, perhaps a weakness with this team early in the season. And right now, I don't think that they're putting up a lot of points or doing a lot of what they can do with potentially they can do.
Talk to me a little bit about Eichel. Where do you see him fitting in on this team?
So everyone wants that dream top line, you know, with Stone and Pacioretty and Eichel centering them. That would be the dream matchup right there. But don't forget about Chandler Stephenson and what he has done. And then just his consistency and the chemistry that he has with Stone and Pacioretty. I really do believe that sooner or later, William Karlsson, who's been struggling, I would move him to the third line. I would insert Eichel with the two misfits, with Riley Smith, who is just a little off right now in his game. I think he's got one goal in like 19 games. And then Jonathan Marchessault, and then give them a jump start. And then imagine like Karlsson on the third line, and then Nick Waugh on the fourth line. Those are four very strong centers for this team.
Yeah, you'd have your depth up the middle, no question about that. All-Star game just a few weeks away. The Vegas Golden Knights are the host this year. What does it mean for this organization as we get closer and closer to All-Star weekend?
Well, it's big news for this city, and everyone's excited to have the All-Star game here. It's a part of a very big weekend here. The East-West Shrine Game kicks things off on Thursday. On Friday, you have the NHL Skills Competition. Saturday, you'll have the All-Star Game. Sunday, the Pro Bowl. The NFL Pro Bowl is here. So it's a blockbuster weekend in a history now of all these blockbuster weekends in sports here in Las Vegas. But it means a lot to the organization. And Bill Foley's been talking a lot lately. They're talking about, after building the All-Star Game and hosting the All-Star Game here, the next step would be an outdoor game, which will sort of be indoors at Allegiant Stadium. And that's something that they've been shooting for a while. And I hope that that eventually makes it here to Las Vegas, too.
That would be great. I seem to remember the Kings and the Rangers playing an exhibition game outdoors in Vegas in the 90s.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. And it was, I went out on the ice. I went out on the ice, and it was particularly hot. It was in September. It was a preseason game, and it was nothing but slush. It wasn't really ice. I don't know how they even completed the game. And then they had an invasion of grasshoppers during the game itself. And it was just, it was hot. It was sticky. It was muggy. And it was an absolute mess here in Las Vegas. I don't think they want to go outdoors ever again, officially.
Be interesting if they could set it up indoors. That would be an interesting way to do it. And let's see if Vegas can nail that down. Tony, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Look for us at Locked On VGK, at Locked On VGK Vegas Golden Knights. Myself at Tony Dasco on Twitter. I chat a lot. I talk too much, I think, too.
Well, I like what you have to say, Tony. Always a great pleasure to have you on the show. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Great seeing you, Gil. Thanks a lot.
Today's episode is brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and they've got a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. That's LOCKEDON, one word, and you'll get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just because you listen to the Locked On NHL podcast. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin with you as I am every Monday. And thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs to talk a little Maple Leafs hockey. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing well. And I think you have to be happy with your team's victory over my New York Islanders on Saturday evening. A nice performance.
So they had to kind of push up a couple of young defensemen into the second pair role, and they kind of cratered under that pressure. I felt that they actually responded and played a lot better in the game against the Islanders. The whole team, it was just a massive response. The biggest, question mark going into it was, okay, if they establish a lead, can they hold on to it? Because for the previous five games, Toronto had squandered a two-goal lead. So they were up 3-1 in four of the last five games and squandered it and either went into overtime or lost that game. So when they went up 3-1 against the Islanders here, Leaf fans were kind of squirming and they're like, oh no, here we go again. 3-1. Awesome. But the Maple Leafs, I think they learned from their mistakes over the last couple of games, I guess you could say. There's a little bit more effort, a little bit more heart in the third period. They locked it down. Peter Mrazek, I felt, had a pretty good game himself. Definitely his best game as a Maple Leaf, I would say. And were able to come away with the 2 points and kind of give themselves a little bit more confidence going forward after a tough road trip. It was a good way for them to end that road trip, I'll say that.
John Tavares still not very popular with Islander fans. Your thoughts about them booing him when he touches the puck and their reaction to him?
Look, I got it the first year, maybe even the second year, maybe the first outing, like earlier in the season when they were there in, what was it, the second game at the new arena. But right. At this point, like, when are you going to get over it? Like, one of the Islanders fans going to get over it. I get it. He left, and all power to you. Boo him. He deserved to be booed a little bit, I suppose, when he first got back. But we're now, this is what, 3-4 years now? Like, at some point, you just got to move on. And the Islanders have had far more success without him than the Maple Leafs have. So, I mean, it's not in like you left them and, the team went into the gutter. They got better. What are they booing for? They should be thanking him for allowing them to go out, not have to spend $11 million against their cap and try and beef up the team around them to allow them to get through to the second in conference finals a couple of years ago. Stop it, Islanders fans. Be thankful that Johnny T left you and didn't stick y'all with the $11 million cap hit.
Let's talk a little bit about goaltending. I mean, you mentioned Peter Mrazek, but Jack Campbell has been outstanding for the Maple Leafs this year. What has his play this year meant for the team?
Oh, it's been everything. It's slipped a little bit of late, like with these blown leads. He's part of the equation there, obviously. But the first like 2 months of the season, he was arguably the best goalie in the league. And when you've got good goaltending, that's going to go a long way. Any team, it was funny. I was chatting with Jamie McLennan of TSN's Overdrive, former NHL goaltender. And he said that, the NHL should be called a goalie because essentially if your goalie's in one and your goalie's on one that night, there's a good chance you'll win it. And Jack Campbell, the first couple of months of the season, you know, he was spectacular. He was winning games left, right, and center. Plays slipped off a little bit of late, but I think Leafs Nation hoping that this is just a funk due to the fact that he's never played this much hockey ever in his NHL career. So hopefully, you know, he got the night off against the Islanders on Saturday. Peter Mrazek got to come in, played well in his absence while he sat on the bench and kind of collected his thoughts after a poor game against the Rangers. And now hopefully up next, they're taking on, why am I blanking? Anaheim on Wednesday. The assumption is Jack Campbell will get the neck, go mano a mano against fellow countryman John Gibson on the other side. And hopefully he'll have himself quite the outing and get back to that Vezina caliber player that he was earlier in the season.
The Maple Leafs in the thick of the competition for, you know, first place for a good playoff spot, but Boston not far behind them also. So kind of, you know, in the middle of it, what do you think this team needs to do at the trade deadline, which is now it's getting closer and closer as we head through this part of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you're a New York guy, so I know that you probably are also following what's happening with the Rangers. And, you know, the Maple Leafs were exposed in that game for having a bit of a thin blue line. Both Muzzin and Hall were out. And those guys bring a different intangibles to the game that the Leafs just don't have depth in. And I think that's what they need to add. They need to add, first and foremost, a someone to play with Jake Muzzin as a shutdown defenseman, a top four shutdown guy who can comfortably play on the right side. And if they can even go out and get another kind of third pair, rugged type of defenseman, that would also help. They just need to build depth, and they need to get themselves some guy who don't mind throwing their weight around, blocking shots, playing, you know, a heavy style of hockey, making it difficult to play in front of the net. You want to go and park yourself in front of the net, Ryan Reeves? Well, we're going to have a guy who's 6'3", 220 pounds, cross-checking you in the back. You might not want to go there as much anymore. And I could say the same to the guys over in Tampa, you know, Kucherov in the playoffs. You want to go to the net, or, you know, talk about Braden Point. You want to go to the net, Cirelli, you're going to take a couple of hacks and whacks from these bigger dudes. Because right now there's a little bit too much smallness in guys like Sandin, guys like Dermot. They're getting bullied a little bit. Not to say that, you know, they need to go out and get those guys, those mutant type players. But for sure, I think depth on the blue line and a top four defenseman specifically to come up and play with Jake Muzzin. Because Justin Hall, it hasn't quite been the player that he was last season. That pairing, you know, Muzzin hasn't been either. That pairing has not been great. Certainly nowhere near what was expected of them. So I think if they can get another kind of defenseman to come in, Scott Mayfield is a name that I've been tossing around a little bit in my head. And I'm curious if you could kind of, you know, talk about if the Islanders might be interested in selling off some pieces as they're kind of not really in the playoff hunt at this point in the season. And if Mayfield, you think, is a guy who might be available.
I'm not sure if the Islanders fall off, you know, if they're not able to put a win streak together and get back into the playoff hunt by the time the trade deadline comes, they will probably look to sell some players, but I'm not so sure Mayfield would be at the top of that list. I think that Toronto would have to sort of bowl Lou Lamoriello over a little bit in order to make Mayfield available because of his size and because of his experience, and that the Islanders don't have a lot of blue liners behind him. I mean, you know, they've already lost Nick Leddy in the last year. It would be difficult for them to trade him off unless they get some kind of defenseman in return. But again, bowl over Lou Lamoriello if the Islanders are out of contention, and anything is possible. Wanted to ask you also, you know, everyone talks about Austin Matthews and Nylander and Tavares and Morgan Riley. Couple of veterans who give this team some depth, Jason Spezza, Wayne Simmonds. What do they add to this team at this stage in their careers?
Lately, it hasn't been a whole lot, to be honest with you. They have not played well as of late. But, you know, typically those are guys who You know, I think on the bench, in the locker room, like those are the type of intangibles that they bring, and they hold their own to a certain extent. It really depends on who that third guy is with them. In the past, when Pierre Engvall's with them and it's a guy who's got a little bit of speed, you know, involved in his game, usually that line does okay. But when it's been like Nick Ritchie or Kyle Clifford and it's three kind of slow, oldish dudes, that they typically don't play well, especially in their own zone. So, but what I think they still bring is depth first and foremost, and just like the veteran leadership, I think off the ice as well. And on the bench, it was Wayne Simmonds who kind of turned the Maple Leafs season around, who ripped into this team back in October. It was a game against the Chicago Blackhawks. After the first intermission, he just completely ripped into this team. And since then they ended up going on like a 20-4 run. After that, after starting the season off like below 500, and they were about a week away from selling off, and Keith was getting fired, Dubas was on the hot seat, but it was that the veteranness of you know, Jason Spezza and of Wayne Simmonds to kind of turn that thing around. I don't think these guys, you're going to expect for them to contribute a whole lot offensively, but what they can do is they can kind of get the mindset right for these young guys and these young stars in Nylander, Matthews, Marner, et cetera.
Mike, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find the podcast wherever you get your podcast from, Locked On Leafs, and find the Locked On Leafs on Twitter as well. That is at Locked On Leafs. You can follow my personal Twitter as well, at Mickey_Canuck.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, so thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. I will be back on Friday, hopefully along with my co-host Rachel Donner, as we will break down everything. And of course, great lineup throughout the week. We have our Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and our power ranking shows. So make sure you join us for all of those. Definitely want to thank all of my guests from today. Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs, John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers, and Tony Cardasco of Locked On Vegas Golden Knights. Always great to talk to our local experts. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and thanks again for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.